Let's
Love
do it.
Talk Radio.
And oh yeah, I said oh yeah. What's up, African American Empowerment Saturday, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you, Shemaine Man, Marvin Roan, and the crew. From our African American Empowerment Studios in Richmond, Virginia. Got another powerful show for you today. We're going to talk about being the wonder, Brother Booker. Got Willie Lynch's Quantum segment, Brother George, and much, much more. We need to hear from you as well. And there's no greater love or no better love than yourself and kind. No greater love, no better love than self and kind. And that's the word on the street. There is no better, no greater love than for self and kind. We welcome you again to African American Empowerment Saturday. It is 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you again. I'm Marvin Roan, your host, and got a great show for you today. We're going to talk about being the one. But let's talk about the mission of the National African American Empowerment Association. Our mission is to ensure that the needs of the African American community are met, right? And that's very important because we have so many needs, and we're going to have to do the work of addressing those needs one person at a time, men, women, children, family, generations working together. We're going to have to collaborate and develop programs that support our communities. We have to inspire our youth. We have to motivate our families, our parents, and we have to be able to strive for excellence in our community by empowering each member. And that work is to collaborate and partner with existing community organizations to do the work, right? To find our talents, to find our gifts, to find our abilities, to find our confidence. And we figured out that through the peace concept and many other concepts associated with empowering our people, that things can work. So here's the pillars of the NAAEA and the peace concept. It is being able to develop activities, right, that really develop strategies or agendas that help our people help themselves. And you know, if you're familiar with the African-American community, we need help in so many ways. And if you go back to the period of the end of enslavement and into Reconstruction, we had an opportunity to establish ourselves. And so we want to reestablish ourselves through having political agendas and understanding how politics work, how understanding the legal system and how it works, and to be able to educate our people on these systems so that we won't be fodder for the system. Right, so we have to understand the importance of how the law works and how to navigate the system of law so that when situations occur, we'll be able to understand how the justice system works, how all of these different strategies are used, right, and how to be able to execute activities and educational priorities that help us understand how to use these systems to our best benefit. That's going over to the E, which is economics, economic agenda, looking at money, money management, how money works, looking at capitalism, educating our people on the capitalistic aspects of democracy and how it works and how these political systems and economic systems work together, right, and how we fit in there. All right, now we're going to move over to let's understand the dollar, right? We're spending it, but if we learn how to capitalize on capitalism, then we can create institutions that define our own reality and get to work on working on those things that work best for us. Next, it is the A, athletics, which is health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition, mental health, physical health, emotional health. And we have to take care of our physical bodies. We have to eat right. We have to eat for our genetics, our bodies, and our systems that is slightly different from what we're being fed here or what we eat here or we consume here. So we have to do a better job of taking care of ourselves mentally, physically, and emotionally. That means we've got to push away from the table, from all the salt and all the sugar, and then work on having a healthy regimen of activities that help us define how we're going to take care of our bodies, our temples, and then look at our mental and emotional health, right? Work on our wellness, get a wellness plan, and execute that to perfection. Next, it is culture, relevant cultural programs like this one, right, that really feed into giving us information about ourselves, good things that have occurred in our lives to give us the support that we need, that we can improve ourselves, right, to give our young people confidence in who we are and who they are, and continue to do that by providing a comprehensive E, which is education, right, a well-rounded education that really gets us to look at how we can continue to maximize using education to become the best people that we can be. Again, join us, www.naaea.info, right? because we need your membership. We need your friendship as well. And now, it's the Stan Macklin moment. We'll be right back.
Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, man, we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing. But we must unify. Let's not sabotage ourselves. We should not look as to what we can't do. We can do all things. We can. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic races and be who we are, original kings and queens, and make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on earth.
Brothers and sisters, you know Brother Stan is right about a whole lot of things. And so if we collectively, as Brother Booker would say, unify, right, and working on this unification of consciousness, collective consciousness, as Dr. Bruce and Brother George minister on regularly, if we can begin to do that work, right, that critical work that changes the consciousness and the ways and the behaviors of our people, we got it. So let's stop trying to get in and fit in and create institutions that define our own reality the way we want them, the way we like them, the way we see them, the way that it best benefits us and our community so that we can get out of the clutches of poverty and get into education and growth and development one person at a time. And that is the work that needs to be done. So continue to allow that work to happen in your life and continue to pour into our communities and into our young people. It's now time for my favorite segment. It's the Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment with my brother George. Let's bring him in the right way. And again, thank you all for joining. Welcome to African American Empowerment Saturday. Let's rock. Oh yeah. Let's bring it. Hey mom. Let's do
bring it. What?
Brother George. Brother George, welcome to the show. How are you? Brother George, can you hear me? See if I can get him in again. Brother George? All right, let me try this. Brother Booker, are you there? Okay, let me see what I can do with this. Brother George, can you hear me? Okay, let's see if we can work this out. Figure it out. All right. Brother George, can you hear me? Brother Booker, can you hear me? Brother George, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right.
Are we good?
Thank you very much, sir. Yes, sir.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Sorry about the technical difficulties, man. My phone hung up, and, you know, I had to call back in, you know, so sorry about that.
All right. We figured it out. So, Brother Booker, if you are listening, hang up and call back. And we'll try to get you in on the line as well, if you can hear me.
All right. So,
Brother George.
Yes, sir. Today,
all right, hold on. You know. Okay, go ahead.
Today's Kwanzaa principle is Imani, which is faith. To believe with all our heart in our parents, our teachers, our leaders, our people, and the righteousness and victory of our struggle. Imani, the power I need in order to do great things comes from spiritual connectedness. Let this be the groundwork for all that I think and all that I do in this physical plane. Let me nurture a close relationship with my higher power, the ancestors, and the positive spiritual forces of the universe. Now, today, I'm going to do a little follow-up on the Mathematics of the Mind by Nuri Muhammad. I'm really fascinated by this book because it's got a lot of fundamental information about how the mind and the brain works and what affects our decision making. What we feed the mind. The mathematics of the mind means that whatever we feed the mind the most is what wins. If a thought becomes a word, and a word becomes an action, actions become habits, habits make character, character makes future, then we have to be consciously downloading information that creates peace and harmony. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Philippians 4:8. Our minds are made up of the deposits that we put in it. These types of thoughts are called tonic thoughts. The ones that were mentioned just before, the good report, the praise, all of that, those are called tonic thoughts. Falsehood, lies, unjust, impure, hateful, gossip, and slander are all toxic thoughts. That which is tonic heals, and that which is toxic kills. Tonic and toxic the words, actions, habits, and character that will come from thinking these types of tonic thoughts will allow our hands to absolutely sit us in heaven at once. The toxic thoughts will set us up in hell just as fast. So I really think that the idea as a people, we need to focus on thinking good thoughts and teaching our young people positive images to create positive images in their mind and give them positive information to draw upon to solve problems in the future. So, Brother Marvin, that's me. If you have a question for the week, then let me have it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Brother George. As always, excellent, excellent segment. So I was thinking, you talked about tonic and toxic. And the question of the week is, how do we change our action, our character, and our habits to create peace and harmony within ourselves and our communities?
Well, it's the thoughts that we think, brother. We've been through so much and have created so many negative thoughts about self-image. We have to change that. We have to begin to think of ourselves in a more positive light. Somewhere along the line in that book, I think it was something that I might have read last week, but it said if you look up the word black in the dictionary, the majority of the definitions of black refer to something negative. And when you do the same thing with the color white, the majority of the images are all positive images. And so we have to get back to an idea in our mind where black is truly beautiful. Because if we refer to ourselves as that and then attach a bunch of negative connotations to that, then that's going to come out in our actions towards each other. And that's what happens today. So we have to reverse that. And we have to get back into the mindset of the black and beautiful, and the mindset of positive energy, from teaching ourselves about the positive contributions that we have made as a people to world civilization and to the advancement of mankind. And we have to learn to pass those things on to our children and each other. And I think that by doing that, as a matter of fact, I know by doing that, that it will change a lot of the negative things that are going on with us as people. That's my response.
Absolutely great. Absolutely great, brother. And you're absolutely right. Tonic and toxic is work that we need to do within, right? We have to challenge our thoughts, right? Those thoughts that create our habits and our actions and our behaviors and our ways, which equate to our character. And then we have to be able to change our thinking and focus on developing our minds, right? And the minds of our children, right? Focusing on developing our youth. And to be able to do that, we have to change our thinking. And that means that we have to change our thinking through the development of our minds and our actions and our activities. And this will help us to rebuild and instill greatness to help toward our resurrection, right? The resurrection of ourselves mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Brothers and sisters, we can do it. Yes, we can. We can do it. One day at a time. 845-277-9250. Thank you, Brother George. Great job today. Slido is in effect today. Slido.com is working. Go out there and put your thought or piece in today over there. The number today is 286-4138. 286-4138. 845-277-9250. Join us in the conversation today. We got Brother George with a Lynch segment by us, and we got Brother George standing on standby as we bring in Brother Booker Brother Booker, for being the one. Thank you for joining us again. And let's get started by bringing Brother Booker in the right way. Bring it, brother. It's on you. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Let's bring it. Do it.
Bring it!
Brother Booker, welcome to the show.
Thank you, my brother. How are you today?
I'm doing well today, brother. I'm doing well. Nothing can stop us. Nothing at all can stop us but us.
Good.
All right.
Good,
I'm turning it over to you. What you got for the one today?
I appreciate this opportunity, brother. I really do. And as always, I want to start this off by saying peace to all the brothers and sisters out there within the sound of my voice. I want to piggyback on Brother George here quickly and say, in understanding our minds, I now understand what being born again means. When folks say you need to be born again, we need to be born again. And I'm not talking about coming out of the womb a second time, but getting our minds corrected, being born again. Because when we come up in this society, and I'm going to use myself for an example. I'm going to take a page out of Dr. Bruce's book. I'm going to talk about my upbringing for a minute, because I definitely needed to be born again. See, if I knew 50 years ago what I know today, if I knew 60 years ago what I know today, when I'm talking about be the one, if I was 60 years ago talking about be the one, man, what a big difference that would be. But I didn't understand that. I didn't understand it at all. I didn't know anything about no one or being the one. You see, because how we are raised in this country and brought up conditions us to who we're going to be for the rest of our lives. You know, I was born in Richmond, Virginia, as you know, brother, in a little part of town called 17th Street Bottom. Okay, I was in the house with my great-grandmother, my grandmother, my great-uncle, my uncle, my great-aunts, and my mother, who was at the time of my birth was 16 years old. She turned 17 a few months after I was born. I was born in December, she turned 17. So I'm in that house. We had a outhouse in the backyard. We had some chickens, from what I understand. And for those of you who don't know what an outhouse is, it's your toilet out back in the yard. So if you got to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, you got to go outside to the outhouse. And that was the environment I grew up in. And as a child growing up, of course, you know, my great uncles and aunts and my aunts and my grandmother, my great grandmother, kind, loving people. You know what I saw? And I didn't realize the struggle in my early age of what they were going through. Because, you know, they took care of me. I was spoiled. I was the only child for 4 years. Then my sister was born. And next year, I had another sister. Mother had another sister by two different men. So she had three children by three different men before she was 25 years old. And we were in that household. And I'm the oldest child. I'm the big brother. So I'm seeing what's going on in the house, trying to understand what's going on in the house. I'm, you know, loving people. Then they get together and start drinking liquor and cussing each other out and got to hide guns before they shoot each other and all that. And I'm going, whoa, what's going on? This family. But you start to see the effects of, I started to see, but I still didn't understand it, what liquor does. Because then I'm looking to focus on, after they sober up, the loving family again. I mean, we sleeping five in a bed, head, toe, head, toe, head, toe, growing up. You know, and then finally, from when I got older, I realized some aunts started telling my mother she needed to get her children out of their mother's house, which is my great-grandmother's house, and do something for herself and live for herself. So that's when we moved to the projects up in Gilpin Court. Whole different ball game then. Now I'm still seeing the struggle that's going on, and that we poor, because in the other, before then, I ain't realized we were poor until we get up to Gilpin Court. And then, man, but in Gilpin Court, I'm thinking, you know, we all the same up in there. Everybody poor. I'm thinking whole world living like we live. I didn't know it was a difference per se until we got a little older and you start going, because schools now, remember, were segregated. I'm not living around white folk.
You know, white folks in the stores in the neighborhood selling us stuff and all that, but, you know, Mr. Shank and all of them, the Jew man and all that, we know, that's how we living. So when we dealing, then I realized at some point in my life, being in the hood, I got to help my mama. You know, we eating bologna sandwich on Fridays. You got chicken once a week if you're lucky. And go tell a man or go tell Shank, I want 50 cents of bologna, cut it thin, my mama said. So we struggling. So now I got my little hustle going on the side. I'm doing the things I'm trying to do because I'm bringing it home to mama. Don't ask where it came from, mama, but I got some money. I got some things. You know, when we were doing our thing. But you're growing up, and that's how you're living, and that's how you're being conditioned. And just like my mama, by the time I was 17 years old, before I turned 18, I had a child and was married. Now I got a family that I'm dealing with, I'm living with, and I lived with her parents for a while, or her mother, her father was dead when I met my first wife, and her mother, same problem going over there, drinking liquor, throwing bricks through each other's window. I mean, man, it was, you know, but that's how we were raised. That's how we growing up, and understand, like Brother Joe, we children coming up in this environment, and then they go to church on Sunday, some of them, trying to do the right thing, but they're trying to raise us as well. You know, but at one point, you know, I was good in school. I was real good in school. We all were. The bad, the uneducated children in school was the exception when I was a little boy. You know, we got our work done until I started playing hooky. You know, we were skipping school and getting with the girls. Then you start going down. I got caught in class. One of my teachers told me one time it was my fault that we were 100 years behind white folks. 100 years behind white folks. She said, it's just, I'm the cause of that. And if I had known back then, I would have told her, well, I'm the only cause of that. I can solve that. We're going to catch up with white folks. All I got to do is get my stuff together. But that's how we were. And then when I joined, and at this time, we couldn't go in certain department stores downtown in Richmond. We had to go through the back door to pick up food. You know, the movie theaters, we had our movie theaters, the Booker T, the Hippodrome, the East End, the Robinson, that we went through, and we were pleased. Hey, we had our own theaters. We did our thing. We were good. You know, so we were poor. And the racism was there, but I didn't see the racism per se, you know, because we had adopted to our neighborhood. This is us, this is how we live, you know, until I went in the Navy. Then that's when the racism, when I really got to see the racism and understanding how racism was. And see, and I grew up in the civil rights movement. Okay, the marches with Dr. King and so forth. But what we don't understand as black folk is that the Nation of Islam was in existence prior to the Civil Rights Movement. The Nation of Islam had come along in the 30s and was moving. In fact, it wasn't until I took a black religion course at VCU for my master's degree, it's one of the classes for a master's degree, that I was enlightened that in the 30s and the 40s, black folk were leaving the churches in droves and calling the preachers handkerchief head Negroes. They wanted out of the system. They were rebelling. And the Nation of Islam was coming along real strong back in those days, okay? And white folks needed somebody that could stop that movement in the Nation of Islam. They said white folks needed something that could bring the black folk back around to where they wanted us to be in Christianity. And they found him up in Massachusetts. They knew who it was? Dr. King. And the civil rights movement got pushed, and Rosa Parks and all that got pushed, and then that became the movement, per se, that the country got behind and put out there, and we all were involved with the civil rights movement. Not the Nation of Islam anymore. They ain't want us in that direction. See, the Nation of Islam was talking about separation, not integration. But we weren't going that way. And I was one. I didn't know anything at that time really about the Nation of Islam. I'm now with the Civil Rights Movement. I'm protesting per se and marching. But you did not know. What was really going on, what was happening. I didn't know who our leaders, our leaders were presented to us on TV that we did have when they were black and white TVs back then and all that. You know, they were presented to us, like, here are our leaders, and we got to follow these guys and read these ones. You know, what direction they wanted us in, they promoted, and we followed. And coming up as young folk, we didn't know any better. You know, we didn't know what was going on. We in the struggle now. We just trying to do something. We trying to get out of the neighborhood. Then come the dope. Then we already had the dope and the liquor, but now we get heroin. We get the crack. You get the LSD. And liquor had already been destroying the neighborhood. Now you put the other drugs down in there, and we all coming up, and our parents and our great-grandparents, they're all showing us how to live, what to drink, what to do. It's in the neighborhood. Born again. We got to be born again because we're being taught these things. We don't know. And I was one of them, too. I was doing my thing. I went running along. But I said when I got in the military, it was a smack in the face. When I got in the Navy, it was a smack in the face. And it was a bigger smack because of the job I had. I was one of few journalists, black journalists in the Navy in 1972 when I joined the Navy. And I became the first black editor of the largest newspaper in the Navy. I caught hell. I was on ships that went to Vietnam. Ships had riots on them. Both ships that I was on had riots or uprisings. The first ship I was on, we went out to sea, and brothers were meeting on the mess decks talking about rebelling and doing things, and you had to learn how to adapt. You had to get the brothers to fist. And the next day, we pulled in port early, and the next thing we know, they're letting 130 brothers off the ship, kicking them off the ship, and we had to go back out to sea. And the people, white folks, mad, everybody mad now, because why are they going? And when I on the ship, the second ship, the Kitty Hawk, they had a big riot off the coast of Vietnam where it was, I mean, terrible. Was hitting the XO, the black man. I mean, a big riot living through this. And then when I come back and get assigned on base after going through all these things, seeing people getting killed, jets blowing up, all this stuff, you know, go to Vietnam, come back, get signed in San Diego, now I get people hating my guts because showing me that they hate me, trying to get rid of me off the base, bring me up on conspiracy to commit murder charges and all these things. And I'm like, what? Trying to get me off of the base because I'm supposed to call being old uppity nigga. But I didn't know this stuff. You know, I didn't try to put myself in these positions. It was because the system that I was in and what it was doing to me. And I want to thank Almighty God Allah for Dr. Spock on Star Trek, because Spock was logic, and he got me to using my mind logically, like Brother George was saying, using thinking logically. And that logical thinking, you know, proved things to me. I got to study. I studied Christianity. I studied Old Testament, New Testament in school. I studied Islam in school, because if you want to talk about something, debate something, you need to know something about it in my mind. So I'm learning these things so I can have these conversations, I can have this dialogue. And then when I stood up in the system and the system came at me like it came at me, then I realized this is all because I'm a black man and I got to watch myself. I seen it. I lived through it. It smacked me in my face. And I knew, I didn't know at that time, but I was in the process of trying to be the one, and I didn't even realize it then. And it's because of this that instead of me sticking with Christianity, and I'm not attacking anybody's religion or anything, I decided when I got introduced to the Nation of Islam, I need to focus on this more. And that wasn't a logical decision, not an emotional decision. It was a logical decision to do that. It made sense to me. It logically made sense. I can see where this is real versus what I'm looking at on the other side. And all it's about is do for self and kind. Love yourself. I said, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with doing for self and kind? What's wrong with us standing up for ourselves? What's wrong? What's wrong with that? And in my lifetime, I done seen us try everything else. But we won't try doing for self and kind. We won't try coming together as a people. You know, we just won't do it. So I'm going to share this with you. I'm gonna lead, this is going to lead me right into the one. This is a message I recently put on Facebook because of a message I got from one of my children. And I started the message, my post by saying, this is a message to my children. This is to Daryl, Aaliyah, and Jamil. Recently, one of my children sent me a text message that began with, hey, Pops, this is the child that has been your greatest disappointment. To which I responded, I'm not disappointed in any of my children. In fact, how can I be disappointed in any of my children and not be disappointed in myself? You see, it was your mother and I who born you into this world or country that we didn't create. It was our job to teach you our slave master's language. It was our job to make you the very best nigger you could be. We told you that without our slave master's education, you can't get a good job in our slave master's system. We gave you our slave master's names and religion. So how can we be disappointed in you? We taught you that we are free and no longer are slaves, and how master has changed and given us an equal opportunity to have success in America and be just like him. We taught you, if you don't succeed in this, our slave master's country, it's your fault, because you now have every chance in the world to make something of yourself. We taught you that. So how can I be disappointed in my children? In fact, y'all should be disappointed in me. What you are now going through in your lives, we've been through. We were supposed to teach you how not to go through what we went through. Instead, we just taught you, so we thought, how to survive in the crap that we knew you had to go through. Again, it was our job to teach you how to be the very best nigger you could be in our slave master's world. Truth be told, we should have brought you into a world of heaven, which your mother and I created, instead of this hell we born you into. So how in hell can I be disappointed in you? I can't be disappointed in you without being disappointed in myself. Now, Brother Marvin, over the years, I've had conversations with black people, and you know, where I've said that the one thing we as a people can do that will solve every problem that exists in black communities around the world is to come together as a people. If we could come together as a people, all our problems would be eliminated. And at the end of every one of those conversations, I was told, Brother Booker, you are right. But we won't see that during our lifetimes. Which then leads me to ask, why not? Is it because as a people we just don't want to come together? You see, to say that, we are really saying that niggers will never come together as a people. Because if we were still the black people we were when we were tricked and forced into slavery, we would know that we would have to come together as a people. I didn't say that I will spend the rest of my life trying to unify our people. Because what else am I living for if not the unification of our people? What are any of us living for if not the unification and freedom of our people? I don't want to die being a disappointment to our children and my people. I don't want to die being a disappointment to myself. I am then asked, how will I do it? And thanks to the God in me, I eventually realized that it must be done one person at a time, starting with myself. I must find the God in me. I must be the one. And what does the one looks like? Well, through all my life and what I've learned over the years and what I've seen and witnessed and so forth and what got me to this point, I said the one is honest with himself. Has to be. Meaning he is also honest with his people. And in being honest with himself, he must admit that he doesn't love himself. He must admit that we as a people don't love ourselves. Must. You see, because if we did love ourselves, we wouldn't be killing ourselves. We wouldn't be pimping one another. We wouldn't be jealous of each other or envious of one another. We wouldn't be lying to and stealing from each other. We wouldn't be producing children that we don't take care of physically or mentally. We must be honest with ourselves. And we also must admit that we are still slaves. And in my humble opinion, we have not survived slavery at all. We're still in it. Because to me, if I survived slavery, I would be the black man I was when I went into it. I would have come out the same way I went into it. That same black man that he enslaved, I would be that person when I came out of slavery if I survived it. And we know we are not the same people that went into slavery when we came out of it. So how are we going to say we survived it? It made us what it wanted us to be. You see, because if we did love ourselves, which lead me to my second characteristic of the one loves himself. We as a people must recapture the love of self and kind that was taken away from us on the plantations of America, which leads to the third characteristic of the one. The one loves his people, and it's only natural that when you learn to love yourself, you will love your people. Because when you see your people, you see yourself. When I see you, I see me. When I see you, I see me. We are one. The fourth characteristic. The one, now on the shirts that we designed, that I've designed, this one I'm going to have to change because on the shirts I say the one believes in himself. Well, I kind of still get it, but I'm going to change it to say the one knows himself. The one knows the greatness that's in him. He knows the God in him. And the fifth characteristic is the one knows his people, even if they don't know themselves. He knows the greatness in them. He knows their kind-hearted nature. He knows the God buried deep in them. He knows. He understands. The sixth characteristic is the one always stands for what he knows is right, even if he must stand alone. Now, we have to understand, after 400 years of slavery and being enslaved in this country, still being enslaved, everyone, because of that slavery, will not want to be the one. We still have a lot of black folks in this country, in this world, that love white folks more than they love themselves. So a lot are too afraid to be the one, don't want to be the one. Therefore, being the one may mean you will have to stand alone, just like Jesus, if you will, to be the one. And understand that in being the one, you may be by yourself. But that should not stop you at all from doing what you know is right. The seventh characteristic is the one loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Meaning he doesn't want anything in life that he doesn't want his brother to have. He wants righteousness, love, peace, happiness, everything for himself that he wants for his brother, that he wants his brother to have. We are one. We work for each other. We develop for each other. We got to get out of the mindset of a competition, of competing for scarce resources, supposedly, that are not scarce. Because when we compete against each other for so-called scarce resources, it then leads to other things like cheating, stealing, lying, because I'm going to do my best in the competition. I mean, sports and games, all competition, jobs, who wants the best job? What we do when we should learn that we work for each other. We work for each other. We produce for each other. Not individual thing, it's about us. Dave's characteristic of one is a great communicator, and he knows how to listen, meaning he not only hears you when you speak, but he understands you when you speak. The ninth characteristic, the one is not afraid to die for what is right, meaning the one is not afraid to die fighting for the freedom of his people. And number 10, the one would rather serve in heaven than to rule in hell, meaning the one serves in a heavenly state of mind or place instead of ruling in hell, which is a place of slavery, suffering, and death. Be the one. Now, I'm going to share this, Brother Marvin, like the past 6 weeks or so, you and Brother George and I, part of a group called Men in Action. We've been working with a group of 11th and 12th grade young men at Armstrong High School. In fact, we've been having what we call our, you know, to tell the truth luncheons every Monday. And we begin those meetings by apologizing to them for all the black men in their lives who have let them down. Because we realize that as black men, we have let our children down, just as we were let down and misled by the black men in our lives. In fact, ever since we left the plantations of America, we've been letting each other down. No one, in my humble opinion, I mean no one, has been fighting for our true freedom. We've been marching for acceptance by our slave masters, not fighting for our freedom. And these young men, you know, they're slowly but surely beginning to understand it. But they're also now asking us, as you know, Brother Marvin, how can they be black men and how they can become successful? To which the music hasn't changed now. The answer is be the one. You know? Be the one. And, you know, these young brothers have said, if we do these shirts like we're supposed to do these shirts, they will wear these shirts. They will wear our shirts saying, be the one. So in a little while, we're going to be providing them with shirts, and hopefully we can institute these shirts and so forth through our Richmond Public School System and let it grow from there, because it is about being the one. It starts with each one of us as individuals, you know? And so I told my children, I'm not trying to get you to wear a shirt. No, I just want you to know that I apologize for letting you down, for not showering you with the heaven you should have had from your birth. And I'm also promising all of you that I will spend the rest of my life promoting and being and trying to be the one and working for the unification of our people that I've been told I won't see in our lifetimes. And Brother Mom, you know me because you play my theme song every day. I'm coming in and out of the show. This is my impossible dream, and I think it's possible, very much so, and that's what I'm working for. And we have to do it one at a time, being the one. All right, now, Brother Mom, I'm gonna leave it right there and open it up a little bit, and you can ask me any questions of what we need to do going forward, and slide old calls and whatever to discuss this. But again, thanks for the opportunity, brother. And that was just me being honest with myself.
All right. Thank you, Brother Booker. I appreciate you and all that you
Thank
do
you, brother.
And your strides
Thank you,
to make a difference right where you are. I want to, before we move into slide on into the call line, I want to go back to that letter, right, that you
uh-huh.
mentioned earlier. And you talked about sharing with your children your impressions of, I believe, an apology, right? And,
yeah.
And as you spoke, it made me think of so many different things in my mind about what we haven't done, right, to put our children and our families in a better position. So as we look at just thinking about that letter, can you go back to the very beginning part of it for me and go over it again?
Recently one of my children sent me a letter, a text that began with, "Hey, Pops, this is the child that has been your greatest disappointment." That's how it started.
Okay. And that's where I want to start, right? And we're talking about being the one. And a lot of our people, a lot of our children, you know, just our brother Ralph here just got a call that his one of his relatives just took himself away. And so many of us are through the disappointment of experiences, for whatever reason, are feeling to that place where they have to take that level of measure to end it all because of the experience or because of the disappointment. And, you know, feeling that way, right, takes so much out of a person. And we're talking about rebuilding, right, people, rebuilding the mindset and you know, recapturing the African mind that is so important to our stability and our just our growth and development. So how do you reconcile with the disappointment of your child, right? And what did you say? You know, I know what you read, but how did you convey to him, you know, your support for him and how he felt about himself?
Well, of course, the first thing I said was, I'm not disappointed in any of my children. How can I be, you know, without being disappointed in myself? You know, and we have to, I guess, you know, what one of the students at Armstrong asked us, teach him how to be successful. And one of the things we responded was, let's define success. How do you look at success? You know, because how you define, see, if we run around chasing an artificial success, or whatever we see as success, if success is to us just tied to money, and I understand that in this system, in this society, you got to have that old mighty dollar, as O.J. said, for the love of money. But if we're tying our success to that, then like I said before, we're tying our wealth to something we have no control over. So therefore, you always, you know, somebody else was controlling you. That's why it's. I hate to use the word vital because it sounds like it's not strong enough, I guess. But at unification, see, we come together as a people. None of us would be homeless. None of us would be jobless. You know, none of us would be starving. Because we love for my brother what I love for myself. We're taking care of each other. We're building for each other. And we all, that to me, that's what God is about. God is one. God is unity, building a universe together. Building this world together. It ain't about individuals over here building something. I got my piece of pie. No. Life is for all of us. We all a part of it. And we should function together. Just look at our bodies. We have millions of cells in our bodies running through our bodies. And they all have a purpose, but they're all doing it together. You know, the joints, the mind, all has a part. We can't function without them. They're not fighting against each other. They're working to keep life alive. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to focus on. We're focusing on keeping life alive. All of our lives, because we're together. You know, we are one. You know, and that's what we need to focus on. Now, we need to start teaching our children the truth. You know, Brother George mentioned it earlier. And I mean, we've got to tell them, make sure they understand who they are. You are, brother, you are Father of God of the universe, Father of the planet Earth. Sisters are goddess of the universe, mother of the planet Earth. The original people of the planet, of the all life come from you. That knowledge has been destroyed in you. There would be no world without you, without us. To simplify it even more so, if all the black folk were not in this country would fall. If there were no more black folk in this world, this country would fall. This country has been built on black folk, on pimping and taking advantage of black folk. If we got out of this world would fall. That's why they don't want us to come awakened. That's why they don't want us to be born again. You know, because I'm not saying we need to be born again so we can go out and fight all white folks. No, I'm saying being born again so we can unify ourselves and do what we need to do for ourselves first. But that in itself is white folks' biggest fear. Us coming together as a people and doing that, that's their greatest fear. They would try to nuke it before they let that happen. But we're not saying, I'm not saying be violent. I'm just saying come together as a people and take care of ourselves. They do not want to see that happen, brother. That's what we need to focus on. We need to uplift our children. We need to be honest with them. Like we're saying about the one, be honest with yourself. That's what we need to do. You know? I'll share this, brother. I showed a sister that went to school with my daughter because she now works at Franklin Military Academy where my grandson goes. And I took a shirt in there and showed it to her the other day. This sister cried. She had a tear in her eye. She says, Mr. Chambers, that... And then my grandson's Boy Scout troop, they want to put the message on their Boy Scout shirts because I had a shirt. I took him to Boy Scouts on Thursday, and when I walked back in to get him, they were having a discussion, and he said, oh, my papa need to get in this discussion. He said, papa... And they were discussing Cam Newton and some situation he had been in and how he should have de-escalated and so forth. And it led me right up to the one, and I showed them the shirt, and brother, the sisters in there applauded when I went through all the characteristics of the one. And the brother said, we need to show. And they said, we need to put this on our troops' shirt. So we just got to be honest, brother, and stand up and fight for the unification of our people. But knowledge, yeah, we got to get the mind born again. Like I said, we got to be mentally born again and understand. I know it ain't going to be easy, brother. I know that because, like I said earlier, that's a whole lot of us that love white folks more than they love themselves.
All right, let's speak to that before we get to the top of the hour. You talked about being born again, right? And usually that's more of a religious, spiritual concept.
Right.
How do you promote that as a part of resurrecting our people?
When we talk about religion or spirit, well, I say this. In a way, it is spiritual. And when I say spiritual, I mean the spirit is something created by the mind. You know, the energy of the spirit, is all things come from your mind. Remember back in the day, your little science test they used to give you, run a comb through your hair, and then they have a little small piece of paper on the table, and you put the comb down there, and the piece of paper jump up on the comb, and they say that's because of what? Static electricity is what they call it. The energy in your brain, in your head, in your mind. That's the spirit that you produce, you know, that we produce. So we produce it. So is it spiritual? And that, yes, it is. But you've got to be reeducated. You know, born again. You got to get your mind straight. Like we did, Dr. Bruce, about recapturing the mind. Born again. I just said born again instead of recaptured. But that's what we must do. We have to be, in other words, re-educated. Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said we need to be, if we could take our brains out and set it on the table and wash it, because we've been brainwashed, we need to de-brainwash ourselves, just clean everything out of that thing we've been taught and put it back in and start over. You know, because he said also, if like I said about black folks not being here, if you wake up and tomorrow and all white folk are gone, some kind of way all white folk gone, he said they'll still be here for another 250 years in us. So that's the mindset. Can we hate, brother? We hate ourselves. I mean, you talking about self hatred, lack of knowledge of self and kind, not knowing. That's why our children. That's why they are like they are. We did it. We still doing it. And that's what being honest with ourselves is. We need to. That's what I said, it starts with us as individuals. We like we were talking last week about the sisters. How can I put the sister back straight and I ain't straight? It only me trying to help her and tell her what I know. If I ain't, I'm not right. I'm just making her a bigger fool. You know? I got to get myself together, and then, because that's what we need to do, and then do it as a people. Can we do it simultaneously, collectively? Yes. But we have to realize that. that we need to work on ourselves, you know?
All right. We're at the top of the hour. It's 3 o'clock. And
yes, sir,
you're listening live to African American Empowerment Saturday. We're talking about being the one with Brother Booker. 845-277-9250 if you want to get in on the conversation. Or you can go over to Slido.com, S-L-I-D-O.com, 286-4138. Put your comment in there. And we're going to go to Slido first today, Brother Booker, and see what we got over there. The first question says, great segment, Brother George. How do we change our toxic conditions of our schools and our communities? All right, so let's start with Brother George. Brother George, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right. So they're asking, how do we change the toxic conditions of our schools and communities?
You know, that's going to be a difficult thing, Brother Marvin, because we live in a segregated country that's unstated. So because of that segregation of education, the only thing that's important is learning about what the European did, and we need to teach our children the contributions that we have made to human civilization. We need to teach our children, show our children some pictures of black beauty so that they can model those things. Because many times our young people, they only can come up with solutions with what's in your mind. So if they see a beautiful, long-haired European female, then they think that's what beauty is. And so they're just trying to do what the definition in their mind is saying of beauty. But if we were to line the room with a lot of the pictures that are on this internet radio show called The Point, Smooth Jazz, they always have another beautiful sister's image on the internet for that week's show. And if we were to show our young women those pictures, they would probably try to look like that. But that's not what we show. We also have difficulty in showing any positive images of Africa. If you think about it, probably one of the few times that you've seen a positive image of Africa was in Coming to America, when Eddie Murphy and his sister got married in the country that he came from. And it was a lot of beauty, riches, and all of that. But when you think of Africa, you don't think of none of that. You think of people that's ashy, with flies all on them. You know, you don't think of the images that we have been shown about the ancient Egyptians with oiled skin and beautiful headdress and all of that. You don't well-constructed bodies. You don't see that in the images that we have of our African self. And so we have to really start our own school system.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's the only answer that I have to that. You know, because it's a sad day when a governor can win a race simply off of his stance on black education. The information that's in the schools, he said he didn't want, they call it, you know, critical race theory in the elementary school because they didn't want their children exposed to the wickedness that they've done to the world, and in particular to us. And so we're going to take all books that's referring to anything that's positive about black people, we're taking out of the schools. That's sad. That's sad that a governor could win because of that. That is sad. And you also have some black people that voted for him for the same reason. And I know because I was standing in line to vote and spoke to some that said that. That's sad. But I tell you this, that's not going to stop me from teaching our people who we are as a people. We are the remnants of the great Moorish Empire. And we gave Europe the Enlightenment, period. And I'm not going to stop teaching our young people that. They may not listen to me in the beginning, but sooner or later, it's going to come back around, and in their minds, they're going to say, damn, that crazy brother George was right. But I'm going to put it there as a reservoir for them to research on. So, brother, that's my answer. I know I took a while.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. We appreciate your contributions. Let's go back over to Brother Booker. How do we change our habits that will transform our communities with all the challenges and dysfunction and the toxic conditions that get in the way of being the one for many of our people? How do we change the habits and transform the communities with all the dysfunction and toxic conditions, Brother Booker?
Well, one, we got to reflect, we got to be the example. We got to show our young folk, show our community what it's like to really be black men and women. We've got to stop. And if we know that it's a lie about what they teaching about Africa and the appearance of our brothers and sisters in Africa, then don't show it and teach it to our children. Take the lie down. And then tell and explain it to them. This is a lie. Our people are not like that. Our people are, and tell them and show them the truth. That's one of the things. Just stop spreading the lie. If they give you a book, like the same way the governor want to take the books out that show positivity about black folk, then we take the books out that showing the lies about black folks. We're not going to let you take the positivity books down and then peddle the lie books that you're sending up in here to us. No. No. And what we're going to teach them, you teach them the truth. You teach them about how we really are. We don't need your books to do that. You know? Just stop doing it, and I guarantee you they will come around. See, if we come together as a people and get together as a people, they will come around. We just got to show them before. We don't need that. Fine. Take all your books. We're now doing this anyway. And watch how they change. There's nothing. Trump, you know, Trump was lying in the head. They were using artificial intelligence to make it look like black folks were behind him at his rallies. You know, they artificially put in some brothers and sisters behind him. They admitted it. Now, the other day he was on it. There was no brothers and sisters, no black. My wife said, look at that, no black folk behind him now. Because it pointed out that it got out that they were using artificial intelligence to make it look like black folks were standing behind him, holding up signs, you know, in his rallies. So we need to, as we say, I don't even need to say call them on it. Just say, okay, we know what y'all are doing. We're going to do this. We're doing this.
Never mind that.
You know, yeah, so, we doing this over here. So y'all go ahead. You keep doing what you're doing. We doing this over here.
Taking that point right there takes us to the next slide, and then we'll go to the lines. And that says we need support. We need great guidance and sound. I got it. I'm trying to finish this part real quick.
Okay.
And we need support, great guidance, and sound leadership. Right, in order to get to that place where we're speaking to power or to those books, then we need great leadership, right? And it's only collectively that we do that. Okay, Brother George, what you got for me, sir?
Brother, I wanted to add this in because I know that the first thing some of our people would do, because our people is harder on us than white folks are, is say there are parts of Africa that's like that. And they would be absolutely right. There are pre-industrial civilizations on every continent. However, why is it always a focus on the pre-industrial living in Africa rather than the pre-industrial living in Europe and in other places? You see, that is, I just wanted to add that in, that I'm conscious
right.
that there are some poor places in Africa.
Well, Brother Joe, we also have to admit that Africa has been colonized a lot longer than we've been slaves over here.
Yeah,
you know, they've colonized Africa, so Africa ain't what it was. I mean, when you look at us as a people, there's no black nation on this planet with a military. I'm talking an Air Force, a Navy, a Marine Corps, an Army that's got nuclear weapons, they got missiles, they got a space program, none. None. We all dependent on white folks for defense, for protection, if you will. So, I mean, I had a brother once said to me in the Navy, man, white folks did us a favor. What are you talking about white folks bringing us out of Africa? Because before white folks came, we running around in Africa with little panties on, bones in our nose, and swinging through trees. You see, now that's the mindset. Self-hatred. And loving of white folk more than he love yourself. We definitely got to understand it. Yeah, they can show you pictures of Africa because they made it the way it is. So, yeah, this idea, look at them running around looking like, you know. Yeah, but you've done that. World War II was fought to determine how the white folks will divide Africa, what the French got, what the English got, what the Germans got, what the Russians got. You know, that's where they speak French, Portuguese. I mean, that's what all happened. So that's what we must understand. They Africa been colonized long before we went over here.
Let's get to the lines. Let's go over to Brother Lush. 0148.
Good afternoon. Good day, everyone.
Brother
Booker,
peace, my
thank
brother.
You so very much for sharing yourself with us. Thank you so very much for putting that message on this airwave. For me, as you were going through your dialogue and your conversation, I literally rolled up my sleeves and looked at myself in the mirror and said to myself, I am ready to work. And so what you all are doing there, I'd like to just, as best I can, to the very best of my ability, duplicate it here. And in doing
yes,
so, if they are available, if your shirts are available, can we make arrangements of sorts for me to obtain one, to have that message even sent deeper down south? And hopefully it can... pulling on and be gravitated towards and a developing nation can start this process. So if you would, can you talk to me about how I can obtain one of your shirts if they are ready for productions and get this message out?
Yes, sir. We're currently working on that, Brother Lush. We're trying to get everything taken care of. I'm working with a pricing that Brother Marvin gave me a contact person to try to get a lower price than what I'm currently paying and trying to get it set up legally so we can do what we're trying to do and not have any issues once we get out there. But I'm hoping, Brother, that by the middle of April, after we come back from spring break, we'll be able to then start mass producing shirts and get them to you, okay? And I'll send you a few just so you can see them and see what they look like and so forth. But I can't wait to do it, brother. I appreciate your enthusiasm and support and love.
Because it's high time that work needs to be done, Brother Booker.
That's right.
And I'm ready and with sleeves rolled up and fists ready to clenched and ready to roll. And I hope
thank
that
you,
everybody can get into the mode of getting that work done. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Thank you, Brother Lush. And thank you for your contributions. It's so great show that you gave us
thank
last
you.
Week. Thank you. All right. So, being the one, Brother Booker, let's go back over the characteristics of the one, will you?
Yes,
before
sir.
We go to Slido.
All right. Of course, number one is
the one is honest with himself. Okay? Meaning he's also honest with his people. Because I want to add, when I say himself or herself, we have to understand that the word self is defined in Webster. One of the definitions of that word is people are the same color. So when I say that one is honest with himself, I then say, meaning he's also honest with his people, that's kind of a little redundant if you know what self means, but that the one is honest with himself, honest with his people. Number two is the one loves himself. We must recapture that love of ourself and kind. Number three, the one loves his people. And as I said, it's natural that when you learn to love yourself, you're going to love your people. Because one and the same. When I see you, I see me. You know, I love myself. Number four, the one knows himself. He knows his greatness that's in him. He knows the God in him. He knows who he is. Number five, the one knows his people, even if they don't know themselves. He knows the greatness in his people because he knows the greatness in him. He knows that kind-hearted nature because he knows him. He knows the greatness in him. He knows the God that's buried deep in them because he knows himself. He knows the God in him. And when I was in the military and throughout life and other job situations, I always had white folks try to make me think I was better than folk I grew up with. I got that many times, that you different from them, you better than you. No. All my boys, we just the same. Boo Boo, Ronald, Shampoo, Chick, Phil, Blue, Cornbread, this, we all the same. I ain't no better than that. We one of the same. I may be in a slightly different situation than learn a couple more things, but no better than. You know? I know the greatness in my folk because I know the greatness in me. That's the one. Number six, the one always stands for what he knows is right, even if he must stand alone. Even if he must stand alone. Hopefully he doesn't have to stand alone. We don't have to stand alone. But if you have to stand alone, the one will stand alone for what he knows is right. Number seven, the one loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Meaning he doesn't want anything that he doesn't want his brother to have. We share. We in this thing together. Number eight, the one is a great communicator and he knows how to listen. Meaning he not only hears you when you speak, but he understands you when you speak. And he values what you're saying. The ninth one is that the one is not afraid to die for what is right. He's not afraid to die for what is right. Meaning the one is not afraid to die fighting for the freedom of his people. And number 10, the one would rather serve in heaven than to rule in hell. He'd rather serve in a place of love, peace, and happiness, a heavenly state of mind, than to rule in hell, a place of slavery, suffering, and death. Be the one.
All right, be the one. I like that, Brother Booker. Thank you. So let's practice being the one, brothers and sisters. We got to do the work of working on ourselves. Let's go back to the lines. We're going over to 252. That's the area code. 5347, you're live, you're up. Do you have a question, comment, statement for Brother Booker?
Been missing y'all, brothers, man.
Brother Bridge.
Brother Booker. Hey, how you doing, fella? Hey, brother.
Hi, Brother Bridge in the house.
Been finishing up the work here, brother. Got that clinic finished, brother. Got that clinic finished.
All right. Thank you. Blessings.
Good, brother.
Proud
brother
of you, brother.
Brother George, man. Brother Booker, yes, man. All y'all brothers, man. Heaven be to you, brother, man. That was a heavy message for you. Ain't going to keep you. Just want to say thank you. Been missing you. I'm back. I'm back, man.
Thank you, brother. Welcome back.
Just keep up the good work, man. I can't wait. Be the one. I can't wait to get some of those T-shirts for my Lodge brothers here, too. I got T-shirts going to be made. I created something called a Circle of Hope. I hope I can get some of those to go along with it when I put those T-shirts out, man. I want to do that, too. So I'll be talking to Brother Marv on it, man. So keep up the good work, man. Great message. Love
you
y'all,
too, brother.
All right?
All right. Thank you. Love you, too, Brother Reg. Thank you. All right. Brother Reg in the house. It's pretty good. All right, let's go back to Slido. That's pretty good. All right, it says, how can we get more involvement with our churches, community organization, and the Nation of Islam teachings? How can we get more involvement with our churches, community organizations, and the Nation of Islam teachings? That's a interesting combination there. What you think, Brother George and Brother Booker?
Brother George, take care of this one for me.
Well, I mean, you would go to your local mosque to get information on the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And as far as with the, you know, the local churches, I mean, you go to whichever church you deem you would like to go. If you think you want to experience more than one and see if their focus is something different, then you do that. You know, but I don't, that's the best answer that I can give.
I would add that for churches, I would visit, if I really want to understand churches, I would visit several churches to see which one may be having a message that kind of relates close to what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling, what I'm understanding as a person. You see what I'm saying? That's what I would. And each one, I would also talk to a few of the members to get a feel for how they think the church is and so forth, get that feedback, as we say. But as far as the nation, as Brother George said, local mosque, and if you have any black bookstores, you know, because normally if you go to black bookstores, you can get copies of the messengers teaching. Used to. I don't know about today, Brother George. You used to go to black bookstore and get messages of black man, fall of America, how to eat to live, our savior. You know, that I don't know about because the one that used to be down on Clay Street, what was the name of that one? I know they're no longer there. One-fourth books. Yeah.
Let me throw this in though. You can go to the Nation of Islam website.
Okay.
And all of that, you know, is there, but I was assuming that the person was talking about live, someone physically there. Teaching them and not just learning. That's the way I took it, but now that that's brought out, you can go to the Nation of Islam website and all of the information, it's lectures there, it's everything today.
Yep.
All right. Let's go back to Slido. There's two questions about the one. We need to be the one as a practice. We need to be the one as a practice in family and community. How do you get that going, Brother Booker? How do you get the one into the family and the community?
Start with yourself. It's got to start with each one of us individually and then spread the knowledge. Spread the wisdom, and above all, spread the understanding of it, but also be the example. You know, I can't tell you to be the one if I'm not being the one. I've got to reflect or show what it is I'm talking, or for lack of a better term, I'm preaching. I got to show it. You know, that's a major problem that we have. And I say we, I mean as a society, as a people, with religion. You hear a lot of things being preached, but you see something totally different. See what I'm saying?
All right.
We can talk
this
good.
This goes to you.
Okay.
Go ahead, Brother Booker.
Now, I was going to say, we talk, we can, there's some good orators out here around. We can tickle the ears. But what are we showing you? What example are we putting forward? That's you know, that's the thing. We got to model what we're preaching, what we're teaching. I'm hoping to tell you how to understand what we need to do to be the one, but I'm not only just going to tell you and hope you understand, I'm going to show you. That's what we got to do. So, like I said, it starts with the simple answer, it starts with you. Start with each individual.
Well, this may be redundant. But it says, Brother Booker, how do you suggest bringing us together as one, as community?
One brick at a time. you know. And then let me say this. As I start to, as we, not me, as we start to build ones and we become ones, then the number of ones start to spread through the community, teaching others about the one, not only teaching but showing. That's how we do it, one at a time, and those numbers start to grow. Because as we all become one, the one, we will become one as a people. And that's the goal. Just be the one and keep it going. Because then one is there, then one more, then one more, then one more, then two, then one, and one, and one, and we grow. And it starts, let's start at your house, you know. Start at your house. Start at your, in your community. Start and just build on being the one and reflecting it and showing it. That's what we got to do.
All right. You got a lot of questions along those lines. Mr. Booker, what is your unification plan?
Well, same thing I just said, but, you know, I hate to say prepare others, because I'm saying the same thing about one. As we all become the one, then we all can venture out, and I hate to use the word recruit, but enlighten other ones, maybe a better way to say it, and then we grow that way. But it definitely starts one at a time, one at a time, each one of us at a time, and then we multiply our numbers. You know, it's like,
right.
I guess Amway, if I use old Amway, one get one, get one, get one, get one, get one, you get one, you get one, you get one, you get one, and we grow that way, you know?
All right. Get one to be the one. Let's get to final comments. We thank you so much, Brother Booker, for sharing the vision of the one. Give us your final comments as we wrap today's show.
Well, I said that you play my song every week, In and Out, The Impossible Dream. That was one of my motivators, The Impossible Dream, because I was saying it's not an impossible dream. We need to make this dream very possible. We need to make it a reality. And it's simple. All we have to do is come together as a people, one at a time. I understand that's how it's going to have to happen, one at a time, and unify our people. Because if we all become the one, each one of us become one, then we will become one as a people. And what a better world this world will be, brother.
All right. And Brother George, final comments.
Well, it was a great show, brother, and I appreciate you, Brother Booker. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
All right, that's it for this week. Go out, figure out. I mean, the platform is there. There's the qualities of being the one. You start first with being honest with yourself. Also in there, though, there has to be a change of mind. Right, there has to be a change in our mindset, in our toxic mindset, right, that we've been conditioned to behave a certain way. And in order to convert over to being the one, there's a practice or a set of practices that we have to have. We have to change our minds, and we have to change our thinkings. We have to change our hearts, and we have to change the direction of our energies, right? And so there's so many different ways in which we can begin to allocate our time, our thought, and our resources to being the one. But you can start simply with yourself by working on yourself and developing yourself and making your children a priority, making spending time with them and your loved ones and your significant others important, right? It's very valuable that we continue to expose ourselves to positive information as we continue to do the work of working on ourselves. Again, this African American Empowerment, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. I'm your main man, Marvin Rome, Brother George, Brother Booker, and a host of others who are interested in working on ourselves. Have a great day. Be good. Love yourself. And always try to be. Peace and blessings for this week. Until next week. Talk to y'all soon. Thank you, Brother George. Thank you, Brother Booker. Thank you, Brother Lush. Brother Reg. Peace and blessings.